Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Hevi Zohir B'Talmud. Sheshigigas Talmud Oyle Zodai. Period. That's it.
That's all, Mishra?
That's it. That's all, Mishra. Sheshigigas Talmud Oyle Zodoin. Zodoin. Amazing. Zodoin is no. Shogi isn't particularly great either. But
well, for some reason they combined it the next mission with it.
Took so.
No, but and here is your design.
Two different people.
For some reason maybe there's different gifts is it will be there.
Doesn't matter. Have you heard of Aimer Heavy Zor, but how much she gets down at the Zor? And that's it. That's
short.
Yeah.
Short.
And
what's the starting
translation? What? Starting translation. Okay, Heavy Zor. Zor is the Zihirus. Be careful. Zihirus is carefulness. Talmud? Talmud is learning. Some people say teach. Some people say it means more specifically. As opposed to Mishnah, where Mishnah is more straightforward, just facts, not understanding. There's less room for confusion. Mishnayos were created to be concise, exact, and unclear. No, Bedafka. They're like codes.
Okay, watch your average guy to pick it up. It's
not supposed to be available without the without the process of Talmud to develop it, doing that way it should be. So most of the Mefarshim say that Talmud is Dafka Lafuki Mishnah or Mikra. Talmud. Yevizor b'Talmud. Sheshigigas Talmud. This word Sheshigigas is based on the concept of Shegig. By accident, by mistake. So you better be careful with the Heavy Zor Talmud. Sheshigigas Talmud. Accidents relating to Talmud subject. Oile Zodoin. If you have an accident.
Wait, it doesn't mean
forget. What?
It doesn't mean forget.
What again? Shigigos. Shigigos. Gimels. Shigigos. Shogeg.
There's a
shogeg and there's a mizpah. Right. If you mention it, we'll read this to the sons. It's nice. The Chofetz Chosid Yavitz brings on the mission. Therefore, he describes him, this is his words, there are four Anoshim Mitzoroim, lepers.
Lepers?
Lepers. What do they call them? Lepers? People who have
tzaraas? Yeah.
There are four Anoshim Mitzoroim Pesach Shari Gehenna. Standing online to get him, there are four. They're giving him not a nasty name. Mitzoyer is like a really, you know, that's not such a nice name. There are four of them. Anus, Shegeg, Mezid, and Peshea. The first Kiddush is that even the onus is put on the... But he's still blackened.
So you're saying Dafka by Mitzora because it was from
Ra? No. It's just that's the way he's expressing this concept that he wants to express. And then he says like this, Onus Rachmona Patre Miyad Hanogi Shaisa Ki Kulom Boim Bimishpat. An onus also has to be judged because something's gone wrong. He's a Mitzoyer, he's sick, he got contaminated. So he has to get judged, he has to go through the Mishpat process. But he's going to come out clean. the Rachmanas of the Baruch Hashem is going to say, it's not on him, it's on me. The Baruch Hashem will save him. Shoigeg, that's not quite, that's not like honest. Heavy korban, a ball of yisurin, v'hoisin ashaloi l'sholo. If they went through the tshuva type process or yisurin type process, so he can get out alive. All of nemer yesh lecha malach melitz echad. You need tzchusin. A shoigeg is a bigger problem. You need tzchusin, but if you have tzchusin, you can get out alive. It's still a shoigeg. That's what Benisham says, he's on me. He's on you. You gotta bring something to get out of it. May the tzechel mini elef, that's also good. It's only a shoge. You gotta bring something. Tshuva, yisurim. Mezid. What?
Honestly, nothing.
That's on the Benisham. Mezid. But he chiddushes that he's a mitzvah, and he needs the mishpat process. So that's how he comes out clean. Rabbi Shimon cleans it. Meizid nichnas begehenim atoyim onchoy v'achakach oila. Amazed, the person did it on purpose. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. He knew what he was doing, and he did it. Okay. So he's got to go in. He's the first of the four that gets in. He gets in. He goes to the washing machine, and he comes out. Ve'oila. Pesheya, oimid shom ve'oilam. There's a fourth one, a pesheya. Pesheya is somebody who did it as a merido. The mezid could do it. He knew he was doing something wrong, but he didn't really want to go against the banishim. He just couldn't overcome his yetzer. So he's got his oinish. But he's not disconnected. He's not permanent gehenim stuff. For him, gehenim is the cleanser. Right. But the Poshea, he's taking himself totally out of the Shus of Bani Shalom, staying in. Yeah. No, that's the regular concept. There are rare exception called the Poshea. That's the exception. That's it. So, b'chol oifen, this is the Mishnah tells us that shoygeg is also a chet. Shoygeg needs a kapara. Shoygeg is something that needs to be dealt with. But shoygeg is shoygeg. Shoygeg is not a ninus. It's not a maid.
It's fine, exactly. It's between shoygeg and honest. I know, there was no way out of it, and
Shogeg,
you were just not as careful as you could have been.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's sufficient.
Honest is a matter like the Gemara brings down Matt Elijah.
It's a question of there is a responsibility, there's no responsibility. There are many levels of
Bananias.
Somebody
opening up a bag with writing on Shabbos, right? And he has opened this bag, he's being careful, but then he steps, and it.
It's neither. It's a misasek. He didn't do anything. It's a misasek. Special halach in Shabbos. Halach in Shabbos that if you're walking past the door and you brush across the light switch and it goes on, it's not. No, he didn't do it. It's not. It's a misasek.
Unwittingly.
That's not
less than honest.
It's not a malachim. That's because Shabbos, the concept is not an. It's not an aveira. You're not eating chazer when you turn on light switch. The whole week you can turn on light switches. Nothing wrong with turning on light switches. It's doing malacha on Shabbos. Right? Something that happens totally unintendedly, totally uninvolved, isn't a malacha. So it's not. The fact that the light went on, there's nothing wrong with lights going on. If you get your shower clock, the light's on, that's not a problem. Of course, you can't do melacha. You didn't. The light went on without doing melacha. So what? Nothing happened. But that's just agavucha. That's not Shabbos. We don't want one. We're not learning Hilchos Shabbos now. Right. We don't really need to get into any deeper and difficult understandings of what exactly Shagig is. Let's, for the purpose of, you know, this is supposed to be a 20-minute shiur. Just for the purpose of finishing the mission and going on. So,
sure.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't believe me. I told Yossi I'm going to do it once just to show you.
Three times that I'll discuss this.
You know, I'm a heavy Zohar, but Talmud. Sheshigur is Talmud Oyle Zodoin. Oyle Zodoin. Oyle Zodoin, I don't know what the English say over there. Oyle Zodoin means that it is the equivalent. It is raised. Oyle. It is raised up to be considered as upgraded. Oyle Zodoin. A Shoyig in Talmud is upgraded to be considered amazing.
Right, that's basically what they say.
That's the base of what they say.
They said it, intentional sin, that's amazing.
What?
Intentional sin, amazing.
It is amazing.
Right. What was the connection between the Yavetz and this mission?
That's a good question. The purpose of the Yavetz was to clarify to us that Shoigig and Mazid are both Aveiros, even Oinus is an Aveir. Even Oinus is an Aveir, it's a Metzair. But the Mishnah we're really dealing with Shagig and Mazid. They're two very different levels. There's responsibility, but a Shagig can get out without going into Ganem. You don't necessarily need Ganem for it. It's a whole different world, whole different thing. But you don't necessarily not go to Ganem for it either. If it went right past you, had no effect on you, it was left as is, you can still make it to Ganem.
No, true on you.
No tshuva, no yesura. Right. Amazing, that may not still keep you out of Gehenna. Okay. So, what's the problem? Anybody got a problem?
That's pretty amazing. You did something to show gig and you ended up causing something that's worse.
Oh.
That's a problem.
Okay.
So, an example of Shkigas Tamar. What is
Shkigas Tamar? Well, so, yeah, I can give you how many examples you want. One example.
Okay,
you only got a list
definition first. No. Another definition?
Shigas Talmud means that a person was careless in clarifying the sugya, and he was left confused. So then, when he came to Paskin, he's going to make a mistake. Shogeg. It's upgraded to be considered as bad as a Zodin. Good. For those who are learning your idea. Or anything else, as a matter of fact. Okay. That's one of the Mahalchim is that it refers to Psak. Next Mahalach. Is that it refers to the learning process. You have a chavrusa. A chavrusa is a process of clarifying things. You say, I say the opposite, we knock it around, you ask a kashi, and say, it's pilpul chaverim. If a person is careless, not willing to listen to the opposite svar, didn't hear all the sides of the issue, only his, right? He wasn't applying himself properly,
he
does other.
You usually say that he was so at the beginning of learning, which sort of yes, we shouldn't get caught in that when.
Yeah. Another.
Again, other Zona was dragging the right shot when he could have, or because you ended up asking.
Whichever, right now we're not making that difference. Whichever the different shotim there are. Another possibility. Okay, that's a good question. So, that's the reason why some of the Rishonim say that the difference is Psak. But many of the other Rishonim make an emphasis to say that that's not the only difference.
It's not only you get the emes, so you put a sheker where it was supposed to be an emes, instead of just not getting more emes. All right, let's take it slow.
And one more. We'll have three different basic shotim over here. One is All right, well, maybe we'll say it in these terms. Well, then, of course, we use it this way. One is, why didn't you know Pshat in the Mishnah properly? But you learned the Mishnah, and you don't know the Pshat in the Mishnah properly, the Talmud. You know why? Because you have to be copied from your Rebbe. And you were a Baishin, and a Baishin Lomed. Or you were, for some other reason, careless in making sure to mishamish to be a chum and to know. So you weren't makabel, you were missing the Rebbe. So you didn't get right pshat in the Mishnah, you didn't know right. One possibility. Two, you didn't go through the process of learning properly, chavrusa. Either you didn't use a chavrusa at all, thought you're going to sit cherev al abadim, cherev al tamid, chachomim, so yineyim shaltin chachomim, so yoshvin v'loim nitoya badi badi, by themselves. Cherev al abadim. You can't learn by yourself. Okay. Either a chavrusa or death. It's a life and death issue. It's not because anybody doesn't have the whole Torah. No one individual has the whole Torah. No individual has all aspects of anything. No one person has all possibility of coming to the conclusions on his own ever. So you need a chavrusa. Chavrusa, people are chavay. It clarifies. You will show you again that. And the third, Pshat in the Rishonim, is that you taught unclearly. Even if you knew it, but Talmud means here teaching. You knew everything right. What you said, we put it on the tape recorder and play it back and test it out. Say it was right. But the hearers, the students, got the wrong message. If they knew what you knew, if they knew what you meant to say, you were right. But they didn't know what you meant to say. They know what you said. And even worse than that, they may even meant not what you said, what they thought that you said. You have to be clear. It wasn't clear enough. You weren't careful enough in the way you thought. And they ended up knowing things not right, backwards, inside out, upside down. Oilazolden. So, we usually start with questions. We didn't do that this time. I just said we shouldn't, get out of the pattern of it. So we'll ask two questions. First question is, and interestingly enough, the last time we had this question was in the last Mishnah. Right? The general rule of Torah, right, is that everything gets its due yachas. Everything is the way to go in Torah, to find out exactly what something is, and give it exactly what it deserves. Not more and not less, to the degree that you can. Everything should be put in proper perspective. Everything should be given what it deserves. So in the last Mishnah, we went through several weeks of understanding the upgrading system.
It must be intrinsic connection.
Here we go again. Not again. A similar situation. It may help us if we've already been through it. Then maybe we can figure this one out too. But before even we have again the exception where things are given upgraded, things are given beyond what it deserves. He was a shoygig. So, a shoygig in a derabbonon hilchos tzitzis, still a shoygig. A shoygig in arayis, also a shoygig. But obviously, there's a big chumrah. Depending on what the aver is. A chumrah dik aver, the shoygig of a chumrah dik aver is going to be chomer, equivalently chomer as the chomer of the aver. And a shoygig of a smaller aver, a more kal aver, is going to be kal. So you don't tell me that Talmud is the most severe of all subjects, let's say? So then, it's shigigas Talmud, oila shigigas Talmud, not shigigas tzitzis. Okay? So it's a very severe shoygig. Fine. I have no problem with that.
You come out worse than murder. Show me murder. It's not the same as basic murder.
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah.
Leave it
there. Yeah, see, Chumri Chumris, Retzach. I mean, Chumri Chumris. Retzach, huh? Our Miklat's not a picnic either, but. It's better than swords, what?
It's your turn.
Yeah. It's better, yeah. No question, yeah. all of a sudden we have a very weird thing. Something is a shegig, and that's, you know, that, I think that's the reason why the Chosid Yavitz gave us his form in Torah for. Torah is four clear categories, and things are right, this one, you go here, you go there, everybody has their cubby hole. You're one of these, you go there. You're one of these, you go there. Right? If you're a shaking, you're a shaking. If you're amazed, you're amazed. It's a whole different story. What's this business of a shaking being amazed? You want to tell me it's a very, very, very bad thing? So tell me it's a very, very bad shaking. What are you telling me it's amazing? It isn't. It's a shaking.
No. But for the others, some is a shaking. But here, the fact that you didn't learn, you know you couldn't learn it better, right? Like, let's say there's a bracha, and you heard that there's an issue on rice cakes, right? You know, maybe some dhamma, maybe some shakal, I don't know, right? You heard that there's an issue. Yeah, it's an issue. Shakal. Keep eating it. And they, you don't ask. So, hey, like, I'll do it because I'll be called a shogeg. But wait a minute. You know, all you have to do is ask the guy over there what to do white beard, and he's going to tell you. No, it's an
Adama,
and that's it. So that's not
shogeg. Good. Not bad. That's an example of how in Talmud
shogeg is really amazing.
I don't know. Yeah. It's
you. All right, one second. Shogeg, it doesn't say Shigur's Talmud who made it.
Right.
And maybe they said it in the English, is made it. It isn't. It's a shogeg.
Well, they'd probably get around it, say, like,
what about all those words talking about sugar?
may amount to an intentional sin.
What's Ola?
He says it's an intentional sin, but it may amount to it. He puts the suffix in a different place.
It's not a suffix. It's an upgrade. An upgrade is not the same as the real thing. Right? It's Ola. It's a shogeg should be here, maybe it's over there.
It's, hey, it produces?
Right now,
the first chat that you
gave
that
then, forget it, there is a chat like that in Mishnah also, that Oyla Mezid means that it will bring to a Mezid. Then these things, you start shaking, you end up amazing. Fine. Good. Hey. Well, we're just on the questions things. You guys are jumping to the answers.
It's kind of finished tonight. So.
It's 20 minutes here, that's it. Heavy Zohar B'Talmud. So the Mishnah telling us that there's only one way of avoiding the issue. There's only avoiding this pitfall. You have to be Zohar. That's the only way out. Because if not, there's the Shogeg around, and there can be other Zohar. Now we're holding the Kasha stages. What's the upgrade all about here, folks? And very interesting, maybe we won't see this as a kasha, but just as a start off point, the three pshatim that we find in the Rishonim about what the subject matter of Talmud are relate to your relationship to your Rebbeim, your relationship to your Chaver, your relationship to Talmidim. Sounds familiar?
Sounds
familiar. Yeah. And we can take it a step forward, which I think I saw in some sefer, which I don't remember which one it was. Maybe the Maral. Maybe. So maybe she gets down with it. Cholofin, if it doesn't say it anywhere, then I made it up. But for Cholofin, it's a good idea. The last Mishnah taught us the COVID issue. It related to Rebbeim, Chaverim, Talmidim. This Mishnah continues in a two-form way. Number one, besides having the proper kovod for the Rebbe, Chaver, Talmud, you also have to have the proper kovod for the Torah. And number two, more direct connection. What's the result of it? Trying to use regular kovod, not upgrading the kovod to your Rebbe, not having Meir Shemayim when you're dealing with your Rebbe? Shigas Talmud in terms of your Rebbe. What's going to be if you have Kavod Chaverim, but look, Kavod Rabbi.
What's Shigas Talmud with your Rebbe?
Shigas Talmud is that you didn't pay enough attention trying to get everything clear from your Rebbe. You didn't ask him, you didn't bug him, you didn't nudge him. You didn't say, hey Rebbe, I'll say, I didn't stand this one. explain it to you. So what? I understand. One more time. And get the mission straight. Heavy Zohar. If you have Moir Shemayim, if you understand the Rebbe is a Moir Shemayim issue, so you'll take that with all of the Ritzinut, all of the seriousness, that this is a Shemayim issue. Don't take it lightly. If you don't, you can end up in Shigas Talmud in terms of the Rebbe.
Chaverim.
If you think a Chaver, yeah, sure. Chaverim. But you don't realize that there's a Chaver is a Chaver, but it's also upgraded to be called Meir Rabbi. Because the Chaver process has a Rebbe process in it. It'll teach you straight. Without it, you'll be not get it straight. You don't know that. You forget that. You're careless with that. Be careless with the relationship with the Chaver, you can end up with a Shigas Talmud in terms of Chaver. And if you don't realize the Kovod of the Talmud, if you don't realize the Kovod of the Talmud, you don't realize the importance of the responsibility, you don't realize the two-way street that the process of Rebbe and Talmud is. Yeah, Talmud's a Talmud, yeah. Let him say thank you for whatever I did. No, it's a serious issue. It's a responsibility. It's something that you have to take. It's a two-way street. There's a chaver aspect of it. There's a chaver aspect because Nochon, you're the Rebbe, is the Talmud. Avayosim a Talmidai. There's a two-way street. Goes the other way too. You don't have that. You start be careless. Shigas Talmud Agazot. So clearly, right, here we're skipping the question stage a little bit. But Cholif in this Mishnah. He says it's part of the next Mishnah. I don't know about that. But it's definitely, we'll see, maybe next week. But it's definitely a continuum of the last Mishnah. Definitely a continuum of the last Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us here that the upgrades that we had in the last Mishnah carry over in all the different levels and all the different aspects. But there's inclusive of a fourth thing. There's a new thing here too. There's a new thing. There's a thing that brings together all of the different Pratim. There's a thing called Talmud. There's the process of learning Torah. There's a process of understanding Torah. Right? That the Mishnah is telling us has one of these upgrade characteristics to it. So let's see, just to finish the 20 minutes, but if we can understand why is that. So we'll start with the wrong way. What's the wrong way? We, the people in the United States of America, another very strange places. If we will analyze our thinking, we will recognize that we don't consider thinking intrinsically important. It's only a means. It's only a means. To whatever ends. Tell me what you did. Did you do it right? So you didn't understand right, but you did it right? Fine. Okay. If it's not Negei Lamaisa, so you don't have the idea straight. So what? You know, what's between you and your ears? What stays between you? When it starts coming out of your mouth, that's a very different problem. But as long as it stays between the ears, so you didn't get it right, so what?
In fact, if I could get it done without thinking, it's also okay.
You know, I heard once the name of some American, which I don't remember his name. I believe it was a Goy. He said something. It was a Goy. He was some type of philosopher, American philosopher. Amazing, there was such a thing. Right? American philosopher. It's almost a steering definition. He said, so the reason why he's better than most of the other people in his generation is because he thinks twice a year. And it's like he obviously had something to him. Thinking is that doing, going. America is very, very action oriented, tachlis oriented. Thinking, understanding. So what? Yeah, if you can understand and develop, and if it's that's understanding, that everybody knows that it's a very important means. It comes pretty close right after money, right, as a means to get things. Right, money's the first. But after money, all right, it protects you, and then comes thinking. And in some places there's also physical force. You know, there's all kinds of... there's also this thing called thinking. It's one of the important means that we have for getting places. Right? But it's a necessary evil, basically. It's like something that you do when you have no choice. When nothing and all else fails, think. When all else fails, read the directions, you know. The people that, you know, develop these different gadgets and they have to sell it to the public, they have a big problem. How do you get people to read the instructions? And when you don't read the instructions, you do it wrong and you ruin it the third week that you have the thing. You come back to the manufacturer, there's something wrong with your things, there's nothing wrong with the thing, you did the thing exactly not. Well, I didn't read them. So you have to, you know, it's called foolproofing. How do you make something that even at work, right, can't ruin? Right? And it's very difficult to do when you're doing something that has some quality to it. And that's one of the reasons why they try not to have too much quality. That's one of the reasons why quality is going out of style. You know, throw away cameras. What is that? Instamatic. You know, you can't think. You know, focus. What is it that you want? Just press the button. Yeah, but still, I have to think what I'm going to do with the camera and take care of it. Just press the button, throw it again. You know, if somebody would tell us 50 years ago that is going to happen.
I heard they had
another thing.
I saw it.
No, they haven't. They haven't yet, too. I saw it.
Kodak The only requirement in thinking is to be able to keep the pictures before you throw it out. No.
You bring it to the printer, he throws it out.
You throw the camera, you give the camera into the... The developer.
And he has to know throw
it. He throws it out.
He chucks it for you.
Yeah. He's a professional.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's a professional.
He's a little too much. You know, yeah. You've got a garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you
have to film
this.
He's got to take
No
throw away toothbrush.
What, throw away toothbrush?
That's
right. Yeah. That's so bad. That's not as bad. Throw away camera. Yes. No, come close. No, throw away camera. Like something.
You can't.
Just has
a film in it, and that's the end
of it. Oh my gosh. When I
was a kid.
1 second.
The magazine, they taught you how to make, for the Boy Scout thing, how to make a throwaway camera out of a film box that you had the thing, and you made it, and you threw out your film box at the end. No, it wasn't there.
Thinking is unimportant.
Un-American.
Yeah. I think somebody even mentioned the question over here. Like, I mean, if the pshat was that you got the wrong idea and then you paskin wrong, you did wrong, so what was wrong was that you, the result. And isn't that pshat true? That's also true. But many of the rishonim go out of their way to emphasize, no, that's not, we mean the learning itself. What's wrong? So you say you got the wrong Shandaisa. So you got the wrong Shandaisa. So what? This mission is telling us a very important idea. We've been hearing it now for quite a while in many different forms. We're going to hear it one more time. Right? Why is Shogig a Shogig? Isn't that amazing? You killed the guy, right? I mean, the result is the same. He's dead. He's dead. The recognition of the human rights. One of the basic human rights is to make mistakes. It's one of the basic human rights is to make mistakes. Yeah. Yeah, make mistakes. I don't know about Moshe Ben making mistakes. Human people make mistakes, and therefore the Torah is done. It tells us that on almost every occasion except for one, yeah, our Mishnah, a shogeg is not amazing, even though the results were the same. But who did it? A human being. And a human being is not a malach. A human being is not a perfect machine. A human being in Olam Hazeh is not in a perfect world. We're not in a perfect world. This is the world where perfection is imperfect. It won't fit. If you have a perfectionist, it's usually a major chassar because he's out of tune with reality. Because it's not a world of perfection. There's a world of doing the best you can. There's a world of trying hard. There's a world of advancing, overcoming the handicaps of your limitations. One of the basic limitations, the human limitations, is that you can't get it right every time. You can't get it right every time. So this is the reason why Shogi is not amazed, even though the result is the same. The Mishnah is telling us a terrible, terribly shocking message. The right to be human is limited. That's true. Humans can make mistakes. The right to be human is limited to 98% of the time. Right? But there's an exception. There's a place where the excuse of "I made a mistake, I was careless," it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's Oyla Zola. Not acceptable. There's a subject matter, there's an issue where you can't make mistakes. You don't have that excuse. And if you do make a mistake, it's Oyla Zola. Torah, Talmud, right, is taken out of this world and is given its din. We've learned throughout several of the last Mishnahs. I seem to remember hearing myself speak about it many a time. That there are many, let's say, Torah, mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, there are many different levels of activity in Olam Hazeh. We talked about the relationship of different aspects to Olam Hazeh, Chet, Mitzvahs Esei, Mitzvahs Lais Esei. Torah, I think we mentioned, we didn't go into it sufficiently. Here we have the opportunity to clarify again the point that Torah is not really an Olam Hazeh. Mitzvahs can be done, the mitzvah, the actualization of the mitzvah in the Maisa mitzvah can only be done in Olam Hazeh. Malachim can't do them. Neshamas v'Hagufim can't do them. Right? A meis is poter min mitzvahs. Chofshi min mitzvahs. You can't do them. You can't do them. That's it. Mitzvahs belong in the actualization of mitzvahs. Dafka in Olam Hazeh. So it has the midah of Olam Hazeh to a certain level. We explained about mitzvahs. I don't want to mitzvahs. Torah is not like mitzvahs. We called mitzvahs like an ambassador. But now he lives here. But he's not really from here, he's from there, and that's why it's Schar Mitzvah, we talked about that, right? But as far as the ambassador, now he is here. Torah is not an ambassador. Torah is even less related to Olam Hazeh. When an ambassador comes to a country, hopefully, he knows that when in Rome, do like the Romans. He knows that now you do live here. Yeah, you're an ambassador, you're from there. But now you're here. You go under to at least to certain levels. You have to go under the rules of the situation where you're now in. When you're there, you'll be like there. But when you're here, you'll be like here. So when Malachim come down and they are at the Avraham Avinu's house, so then they have to eat. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the Malachim's house, so he doesn't have to eat. Because you do like the Romans. Right? When you're an ambassador, when you're not... You're not in your natural state of affairs, but now you're there. You're not in your place, but you're in a different place. So then you have to take on the rules of the place that you went into, even if you're not a natural citizen. Okay? Torah is a different story. Torah is pure Olam Haba. Well, then what's it doing here? That is the big chiddush of Matan Torah. Okay? That the Vayishan brought Shemayim and planted it in earth. It brought Olam Haba and implanted it in Olam Hazeh.
I found this many times that this is the biggest chiddush. Yeah. The only thing is, if that was the entire tachlis of the world, right, so I don't understand how you can call it chiddush.
Chiddush,
I don't understand how it's a hard thing to
chiddush, say. Chiddush here doesn't mean something that was unexpected. It was like outside of the realm of the pattern, the system that we're talking about. Chiddush means in terms of a change from the regular rules.
But if this is the whole tachlis,
yeah,
then tachlis is going by different rules if all the rules are only so that this can be.
Vandai. That's why it's the biggest chiddush. Exactly. That is why it's the biggest chiddush. Ein kol chodesh tachas haShemesh. Ein kol chodesh tachas haShemesh.
Right.
This world is not a world of chiddush. This world is masha hoyu, masha yiyeh. Right. Cycles. This is masha hoyu, masha yiyeh. No, there's no chiddush in it. Anything that falls under the rules of this world, it's not chodesh either, even mitzvahs. The malu min haShemesh yesh chiddush. What's that Torah? Torah gives the quality of chiddush even when it's here on the table. We could say maybe something that we say tonight would be considered chiddushik Torah. We're sitting here with table and chocolate chip cookies and stuff, and chiddush. But there's no chiddush under the Shemesh. Where are we? We're not under the Shemesh. No, we're not. We're not. When you're dealing with Torah, you're not under the Shemesh. When you're dealing with Torah, you're dealing in another level. You're dealing with the rules of Torah in its natural state. The chiddush is that even though we're sitting here, and we got the table, and the thing's sitting on the table, right, you can come in contact with Olam Haba here. You don't have to go there. Olam Haba actually isn't there. It doesn't say Olam Sham.
Olam Sham?
It's not Olam Sham. It's not there. It's tomorrow. It's Habo. That's coming. It's here in its final form. This world that we are in, what will be when it comes to its totality, when it comes to its hashlam, when it comes to all of the process of Rishon wants to make it what it was originally intended to be. Therefore, Klai Yisrael has ways of stealing. We cheat. The Moshe. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Shehu Elokeinu, Rashi Nchumash, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu, Lo Tzlov Yeh Hashem Echad. What does that mean? Today is not Hashem Echad. It means in terms of emunah, in terms of coming in contact with this reality, the hanhog of the world, the hasaga of the world, is that in Olam Hazeh, outside of Klai Yisrael, they don't have it. Klai Yisrael also, in terms of tefillah, so you can't say toiv emeitiv on something bad, you have to say dayan emes. But in emunah, what will be loss and love of all the amunas, all of the hasaga, all of the realization of Olam Haba, Klai Yisrael got a, privileged preview, that like sneak preview. We have Olam Haba. This is in many different aspects, but the biggest aspect of all is the fact that we have Torah. Torah never, in an iota, Talmud Torah, we're talking about now, in the least, takes on the limitations of Olam Hazeh. It doesn't recognize them. Torah doesn't recognize death. That's why as long as a person is learning, he can't die. The whole message about David HaMelech, Torah doesn't recognize death. Zoyis chukos haTorah paraduma. Torah doesn't recognize any of the limitations of Olam Hazeh. The ultimate limitation of Olam Hazeh is death. Torah doesn't recognize that either. Let's see that. Torah? Not death either.
During the first two words of
Zerus,
we have the Zerus, why they come back to Moshe say no more? Because after the first word, they died, right? And then they came back to life, okay? And then they died again, and I said, forget it, okay? Let's learn Torah. They died.
Okay. That wasn't Talmud, too. That was Kabbalah, too. We can talk about
There's
it.
There's a difference.
Page. Whole different thing. I don't want to get in. I can go now talk. I mean, okay, Shavuos is it's coming up. We still have Purim coming. They're like, taking a few Pesach and serious. I mean, Shavuos is like, well, that's exactly. You want to know exactly? That's it. The Kabbalah Satorah, right, of Shavuos was not Talmud Torah. It was something that was categorized as Hargagis. That was... that was implantation. That was... you can die from that. When you get zapped by a 13 million volt power, you may die. It could happen. But Haraki Blua, the Me'ach HaShverish, same thing. There, yeah, that's what you mean. Saint. Kabbalah Sotoya, Talmud Torah, saint. That's poor, right? Excellent. Started poor. That was, right?
Go.
The Kabbalah Sotoya of Purim does relate to the same type of thing I'm talking about. You can't die from Kabbalah Sotoya of Purim. You can't die from that. Adar Abba.
Gave him the life.
What?
That's what gave him the...
That's it. I was to read. That was a Trias amazing. Tough. Now you're up to Purim. Still, it's only Purim cotton was. Now we still got another month. Kabbalah is a Torah. Torah is an implantation of Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh without accepting any of the limitations at all. When a person comes in contact with the higher levels of Talmud Torah, he can accomplish in seconds what in the limitations of Olam Hazeh would take light years to learn. This is a very high form of the idea. I just wanted to show how this actually happens in ways that it can be seen. There's one Shechayis Arizal, famous story. He trembled off for a few minutes on a Shabbos afternoon. And when he woke up, he was very happy. And his Talmidim asked him, "What's going on?" He says, "If I had 2,000 years, I wouldn't be able to explain you, but he was masig in those 2 minutes of the afternoon nap." How do you do that? Not in Olam Hazeh. You can't do that. He didn't go anywhere. His neshama maybe did, but he was sitting in his chair or lying on his bed or wherever he was. Right? In Torah, when those highest levels at Mamish, you can see it Bechush. The Ramchal wrote some of his forum in minutes. Things that take us years to try to figure out what he's talking about. He wrote it in minutes. He lived very short the whole time, but like they even know the dates when he started and dates when he finished. Yeah, a couple hours, the whole Das Tunus was written. Besides that, thinking about what it is that you want to say and how you want to put it, and no, that's not right, change it around, no? What? Yeah.
That Arizal story I heard from somebody. He basically told me it was taking 2,000 years, so the ocean was zinc, and, But he said, the version I heard, he says where he was. He was sitting in the chair. But he says he was in the base of Midrash Shemala of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu had just taught him a chiddush. That was what he just got, this chiddush from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was this chiddush from Moshe Rabbeinu? It took 2,000 years for this.
So that's on very high levels where you notice where things start going haywire. But on lower levels, anybody who's come in contact with daily soil, and you come in, Moshe Feinstein once, I was there, as a shir, and he was bringing a shach, he was bringing a shulchan aruch, and one of the people, a friend of mine, asked him a question from a shach, and he answered it, and he fought back, and he said, "No, but the shach says not like that." Yeah. He answered him a second time. When he went for the third time, so Kenevah Moshe felt that he had to teach him something. So he told him, "How many times have you learned that one particular shach?" 2, 3, I don't know exactly, right? He said, "How about your day? It wasn't your day. How many times have you learned all of your day? How about all of Shulchan Aruch?" Well, he says, when I made a seer in the yeshiva a few weeks ago, that's the 400 and something time I see him in Shulchan Aruch with all the Mefarshim. You have to remember also that Moshe was the owner of the Kolod. But besides that aspect of it, we were sitting with one of his sons and cheshbonning out how long it would take. No, a week later on Shabbos afternoon, one of my sons thinking, how long does it take to read, right, in a very fast reading, all of Shulchan Aruch with all the Mefarshim?
I still wouldn't finish the
once. Fast reading. You can't do it 400 times.
It's impossible.
You can't do it.
He didn't know.
I saw he had a Seder every morning learning 18 Prokim Mishnais while he was taking off his tefillin. I saw.
Not from the book, just in his mind.
No, in the book, turning the pages. I watched him do it many times. I actually asked him, how do you do it?
What
did he say? He said, after the first 100 times, it goes much quicker.
You didn't answer. The first 100 times probably also won't come out the court.
I mean, the first time, I almost didn't even get through it once. I'm still trying to figure out how, like, anybody gets through Mr. Brewer once. You know what I mean? It's not like family
Doris. Right. I saw this person. I spoke to him. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. I saw him do it many times.
18
Prokim,
how many pages?
Many. And he used it, the Jochen Boyer's Mishnah.
So how did he do it as he's taking his phone off?
I can't explain it to you. I saw it with my own eyes many times.
What's not how the pages turned?
What?
How did the pages turn?
I once raced him.
I want to see. Turn the pages as quickly as he had?
No, if I can get my tefillin off. And back in the bag. And I sit in there and put, you know, I get out of davening. I didn't have a talis. Before he finishes his 18 program. Okay. I once beat him.
But
2 seconds.
How can he? Where's the other hand? I don't understand.
I can't answer. I don't know.
Big pages, a lot of print on one page.
What?
Big pages, a lot of print on one page.
No, he just learned the Mishnah. He didn't learn the Mefarshim. But 18 program every day. I can't turn the pages that fast. I wasn't even sure that he turned all the pages by himself. Not sure how they turned, but they turned. I never actually saw a page turn that I didn't see him turn it.
You never saw a page turn that?
I didn't see any page ever turn on his own. But like he was writing it on them I don't know. I can't tell you exactly how it works, but it's minutes. It's very, very quick. It's not many minutes. It's like 2 or 3. And the tefillin are in the bag and 18 pairs. Don't know. But I saw it. I asked him, how do you do that? How do you learn 18? He said, after the first 100 times, it goes much faster. He asked me, how many times have I learned Mishnah? So I didn't do it. Just, yeah, you start off slow. Yeah. 2 prokim in a half an hour.
It's like a mission eyes or something. It's like a second division, so kind of cuts. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Who is
this?
It takes like a second.
Yeah, you're taking off your phone at the same time, Rob.
No, so it goes like this. I don't know why he does, but he did it. You know, that's it.
We had a Mishnah.
It's not kosher. It's not that. The basically, you saw it is like this. This is very nice. He's a nice story. He's thinking like this, yeah. But the word is like this. Why is that? Because Torah doesn't accept upon itself limitations. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us you don't get the excuses either. You have to learn Torah as Torah is. You have to learn Torah Olam Habodik. Then you're going to have to give up your human limitations of being a shayyi. But I made a mistake. Sorry, that's not acceptable. Not even a book. There's in this world, imperfection is expected. In Olam Haba, imperfection is non-existent. There is only shleimus in Olam Haba. Somebody who didn't somehow, in some way, in some form, but tachlis, get under the category called shleimus, will not get into Olam Haba. Yeah, there's many things. There's many processes. It's very complex.
And then they're
but bottom line, but different levels, everything, great. But bottom line, right? You can be
still in there.
But you have to be a sholem.
What?
You have to be a sholem on some level. There's many levels, right? There has to be some way, some form, some kind, somehow. But the entrance, the shahr, that if you can't get in there, you're not getting in, is shleimus. Olam bo is the olam hashleimus. There's only shleimus there. There's no such thing as the erich, and he tried hard, and he meant well, and he did the best he could. All those things, that's in his list over here of the fellows that are standing about waiting, getting into Gehenna. That's where you discuss that stuff. That's all, and it has a good place, and you get in, you don't need to go to Gehenna, you do need to get it again, you get out of Gehenna, or Chas v'Shalom, you don't get it. But one thing, that's if you're holding by the Shah of Gehenna. What we're talking about is not even the Shah of Gan Eden, we're talking about Olam HaBo. The Olam of perfection. Perfection does not accept mistakes. Torah is perfection. Torah is perfection. So when you're approaching Torah, you got to know that the human Olam HaZoh rules that man can make mistakes. Zoyla Zodan. You have to upgrade. You can't go that way. That Shabbos, that's fine to go that way. And mitzvahs, you can go that way. Not Torah. Not like that. There's a halacha. The halacha. It's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. But the halacha is Kishen Shetoyer Nitna. Beresis Uvezeya. With a fear, with a trembling, with a giving off of sweat. So that's how you have to learn Torah. Why were they trembling? What was the thing? Because there was a conflict of worlds. They were being implanted with something, they were exposed to something that's beyond. Something that is, you're here? No, if you're here, then you're not here. Here, you're being put somewhere else. You can't just be the same old person you were until now, before Torah, as you were after Torah. Now you're being transformed into a whole different thing. So that's the way Torah was given. That's the way Torah has to be learned. I don't know what the shot of that halacha is in a way that we can mekayim it as our slowly generation. I don't have the right shot yet.
Is this something that's more shaykh to somebody who knows how to learn?
Yes.
Yes. If it would be for us, we're...
This is
like
here.
We know this all the time. We get it.
It's a Gemara. Gemara Neila Metzius. Dovish. V'lebeis Yaakov Chotoson v'la'amei Pshoyim. Elu tol chochomim shafilu shakogo isnasen lehem kizdoinas.
So, Tamir Chochomim.
Tamir Chochomim, that they should know him better. That they have the koyach to be related to this Olam HaBo aspect of Torah. Shkogo is for them are like Zdoinis. But the Beis Yaakov Chatoson, Eilu Amei Arots, Shafilu Zdoinis Nashlem Kishkovis.
You're a Talmud of Chacham?
What?
Are you learning in the process? You're growing, you're...
Are you any percentage, not total, but you have an aspect of learning?
Learning, yeah.
That
would be called an Amharis.
In that aspect, you're Talmud Chacham. Is there one thesis that you know Talmud Chacham? The rest of the Shas, you don't know nothing.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so in there you relate to this aspect.
Ah. Now I feel better, but it's real.
Yeah. We're all somewhere in the middle. We're all somewhere in the middle. We're at different percentages of combinations of the different aspects.
So what happens when we're learning about sugya?
Take it.
Huh?
You gotta apply yourself. What is the Mishnah telling us? Taklis?
No, it says if you apply yourself.
Tell you better take serious. You gotta take it serious. But I take tefillin serious too. That's good. That's wonderful. But I don't mean that. I mean different serious. I mean life and death serious. I mean Oyla Zolin serious. I mean, like, if not Gehenna serious. But I made a mistake. I'd like to explain one more aspect, and that'll be the end of our 20 minutes. One more aspect. Torah, understanding of Torah. There's a Tosis. He has a Kasha and gives a Teretz. Kasha worked on it, I understood. Yeah, Mamish Shver. Then there's a Teretz. If it's Shver, then I don't know what this does to answer the Teretz. So I don't know. Didn't understand. Then I worked hard and I understood the Teretz. Now, Teretz, Kasha, Teretz. You, great. Right. About, some halacha in Kochi. What happened? What happened? What did I become? What did I do? What did I accomplish? So in American thinking, nothing. In religious thinking, I did a religious act. Because the Torah Shalom, the Bein Shalom, asked us to do him a favor and learn. I learned, so you should give me a brownie point. So then it doesn't make a difference, so you made a mistake. So what?
Worse than the very mistake.
Yeah, that's worse. Right?
That's what?
That's worse, yeah. But in all of those approaches to Torah, so whether I do understand or I didn't understand, who's important? You know, what are you getting excited about? You know, the Torah is fine, the Torah will be fine, whether I did understand or I didn't understand. So I do know the Tosis. I don't know the Tosis. Like you said, I didn't turn into a Talmud Chacham because I knew the Tosis. And I won't turn into an Amoritz exactly if I don't know this Tosis, because there's a lot of others that I don't know also. So like, what's the big deal? What are you getting so excited about? So I understood it right, or I understood it wrong. I thought I understood and I really didn't. I understood it be'erich, but not exactly. So what?
Yeah.
The answer is... Torah is Chaim. Torah is Chaim, the real Chaim. Torah the Chaim of Olam Abo. When the man Yarech Yamecha means Chaim Olam Abo, doesn't only mean there. It means Chaim Olam Abo here, too. From here, tell that. Okay. What makes us Yidden? What makes us Torah people, what makes what's special about Klai Yisrael is that we live in a different sphere. We live with some aspect of relationship of Olam HaNetzach already now. Of Olam HaBo now. Of Olam HaShleimus. Olam HaTachlis. We have Shleichus to all of what we have it all. And the place where you have that mainly, the main place where you can come in contact with the super Koichus of Klai Yisrael, the super koichas of perfection, the super koichas, the milus, is in Torah. And every piece of Torah that you know right gives you another piece of Olam HaBo in your system. And if you don't have it Olam HaBodik, if you have it bare, something like this, it's I tried, but I got it wrong. If you got it wrong, you didn't get it. You'll get schar for the Almeilu shelter, you get everything great. Right? But the Chaim comes in Olam HaBo form. Torah is Torah, it doesn't change. Doesn't get diluted down into Olam HaZeh. You got to learn Torah, Torahdik. You have to learn Torah, Olam HaBodik. And for that, you got to get it right. And when you get it right, what did you do? You earned $1 billion. You earned the whole world. You drank the Atlantic Ocean. You did things that are unbelievably important, but you don't see it here.
So you got a emotion.
What?
Can
you feel it?
The
can you feel it to some degree?
That's a
peyoseim by the of it. The geshmak is a like a a spark of the light that comes all the way down to us. Yeah, that's relates to it. It's not the thing itself. It's much more than that. Right?
Well, but, see, so
but that's enough.
That
no, so it's a responsibility. Heavy zor. The mission. What's the message of the mission? Right? The mission is not telling you you're going to get it. That's not the din of the mission. The din of the mission is heavy zor. When you learn Torah, right? When you're trying to understand Torah, careful. Approach it as if, you know, when a person's, I don't know what to say exactly, walking on a tightrope. When somebody's in the middle of combat. Well, I made a mistake. Well, then you're dead.
Still close enough.
Yes. I was 90% right. Yeah, dead, right. On the highway, I was 90%. Out of the 10 hours I was driving, 90% of the time I was spending attention. Okay? That's why you're in the hospital. I just fell asleep for a minute. Yeah, that's how the accidents happen. Right?
Not, okay, not to confuse, like, you know, Moshe and us. Fine, Moshe, so he learns this much and we learn this much. Fine, but in our little bit, right, we should be like Moshe.
You are.
And this, right?
You are.
So what happens to the guy who's, like, when you're sitting in the Beit Midrash, right, and you can spend an entire day on your half paragraph, okay, and you fell asleep by 3 times and you asked 5 people about it.
Yeah, we know exactly what it looks like.
What's wrong today? And you're like, wait a second, what am I doing today? Yeah, that's what I'm doing today. You know, so, like, okay.
How do you see it? You want to see it? The way to see it is to turn around. There are opportunities sometimes we have. Let's say we were learning together with Chavrusa for 7 years. Right? And then we continued an 8th year and he did something else. Right? And then you meet and you compare notes. Where you been, kid? Yeah. You may have used, I don't know you. You may have some other material. What happened? What would we?
No, I know that the Torah experience is, but I'll still learn it.
No,
right?
but if a person looks over his shoulder, not in a day, but in a year or in 5 years, right, and he sees that I became a whole different type of person, I'm like. Yeah, you said this big dapper, right? But this big dapper, you want to see it? You can see it. Look yourself in the mirror. You'll see. You think you who you were 3 years ago? No. You look. Okay. So how did I get there? Because I sat in the mission and I did this, and I fell asleep, and I did all those things you were saying. Yeah, exactly. That's how you do it. Right? According to our kaiha, this much that big. You got to mitzosa. You get that much, and mitzosa that much. Well, I'm not, because that's the essence of Torah. Torah is not fun. So, Arya Gia, see, here's the kunst. Arya Gia, though, we can't be Megia this much, because we're only this big, so how can we Megia that much? So, here's we're a very good system here. You Megia that much, and you'll be Moitzi that much. Nobody's asking you to do something you can't do. I'm not telling you to be a Superman. You can be Megia this much, good. Megia this much. If you make it this much, you'll get that much. Right? But it's one thing. One word of Tosis is $1 billion. If you get paid, not $1 billion, $1,000 a daf. But you got to know it. We'd know it. We'd know it cold. This much. Right? But we know it cold. Why? Every Zohar. Know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with that much. You're dealing with Olam Haba. You're dealing with Olam Haba undiluted. Here, now. And all you have to do is this much. You have to be a gay according to your koichus. About heavy zor. Heavy zor. Take it seriously. Be careful. It's not a joke. It's very, very serious. That's the message. Heavy zor with Talmud. Shashigas Talmud. That's it. 20 minutes?
That's like a... It's almost like a continuous, every time you don't really take it seriously, whatever level of grade you're at, it's like some kind of continuous suicide in terms of the Yehayenu factor. Taking away from your life.
Yeah.
Killing yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
Is the aspect that he hears and guides us?
Could be. There is that concept also.
Okay.
That there's bittul Torah of Eichus also, the way of Aaron put it. If you could be learning on a higher level when you relax, when you shouldn't be relaxing, just to take it easy, right? Because you don't want to work hard. And you're working on a lower level than you should be. Yeah, that's awesome. That's not being Zohar either.
Why is the Torah? Why does the Mishnah say Torah is here that is heroes and has the heroes for day? I'm just Zohar and Talmud.
3 weeks now. 3 weeks. 4 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 weeks.